Sleuth's Mystery Entertainment presents Robert J. LeBlanc's Motive, Means, Opportunity. Brought to you by Maine Repertory Theater, the home for original comedy. And by Somerset Abbey. So much more than just music and comedy, it's an experience. Tonight's episode, Clue by Clue.
So this Dr. Clay fellow sounds like a dead ringer for Frederick.
But pun intended, sir.
Indeed. Think it might be him?
It sounds like that Max Parker, the private eye ex-con, checked on that. I confirmed that they were separate people.
Still, to arrive first without anyone noticing is a bit suspicious.
That it is, sir. That Bancroft woman seems like she's on top of the situation, too.
That she does, Bianca. She has poise. Maybe too much. What do you think about Christine and Charlie?
The Monroe girl? I don't know, sir. It seems we're missing something there.
I agree.
That Basker kid is a loony. He faints at the drop of a hat. Could be nerves.
Yeah, it could be misdirection. Have another cup of Joe, Bianco. Put on the next record and let's see where this is going.
You've got it, boss. Charlie, Archie, Abigail.
What have you got, Max?
I think we should wait for the other two. They really need to hear this. Charlie, why don't you run up and get them?
Go off alone? I don't think so.
I'll go with you. We can call from the bottom of the stairs if it makes you feel safer.
How do I know you're not just trying to knock me off so you can get more of that money?
Tell you what, honey. If I kill you, you can kill me back. Deal?
Okay, that seems fair. Let's go.
Christine? Amanda? Christine?
So, Archie, would you mind answering some questions for me?
I'd love to. How can I help you?
When Frederick invited us all here tonight, he did so under false pretenses. I got a letter from Father Key, said that he had information about fraud at the club I used to run. Turns out that was also the motive Frederick assigned to me, same with the others.
And because everyone's invitation had something to do with their motives, you're curious about mine.
That's right.
I have nothing to hide. I have it right here.
Let's take a look at this.
Should I also assume that I'm a suspect?
Yeah. Yeah, we all are.
Even though I wasn't present.
Well, you weren't present for the murder, but you were here before anyone else. It says here that the father had information about Frederick's betrayal. What betrayal's that?
I'd hardly call it a betrayal. Frederick saved my life.
That doesn't sound like much of a motive to me.
It's in how he saved it. I was a drunk, Mr. Parker. Decades ago, I operated while intoxicated. The poor woman didn't make it. I pleaded to Frederick to cover it up for me. He paid off the woman's family, but demanded a favor to be repaid at his discretion.
He asked that you falsify Rose Monroe's paternity test. That's Christine's mother, right?
That's right. It was something I hated myself for, but medicine was my life. A year after I falsified the test, Frederick exposed me for the drunk that I was.
Hence the betrayal.
Frederick was not one to leave loose ends. I lost my license and I was utterly discredited.
He destroyed you and you didn't want revenge.
At first I did, yes. But revenge is like drinking a poison and expecting someone else to die. He forced me to take a long, hard look at who I was. He made me admit that I was drunk. I haven't had a drink in years. If it wasn't for Frederick, I'd most likely be dead.
Well, at least according to this invitation, he didn't see it like that.
Frederick could never see the positive in life, Max. He hated himself, so he assumed everyone else was out to get him as well. I guess you could say I'm the only one here whose mourning is passing.
Here we are, Max, all four of us.
What took you so long?
They scared the heck out of me. I was calling for a while.
I'm sorry, we didn't even hear Abigail shout.
Everything all right?
When we didn't come right down, apparently Charlie fainted.
I felt something on my shoulder.
That was my hand, Charlie.
You said I should be here?
There's something you need to hear.
The suspense is killing me, honey. Let's see what you got.
When we searched through Frederick's room, we found his briefcase lying open. The only thing we found in it was this folder.
We know that part, Max. Would you mind getting to the point?
Let's start with Amanda. How long have you been trying to get Frederick to sign the divorce papers?
7 months, 13 days, 8 hours, but who's counting? Why?
There's something you need to see in this folder. He signed them tonight.
I can't believe it.
Half of his fortune, sweets. I guess now you'll be getting all of it.
Actually, she isn't. Those papers are for irreconcilable differences. She isn't going after 1 cent, nor is she getting any.
Why the hell not?
I never married Frederick for his money. I loved him. He just assumed I went through with it for his bank account. He swept me off my feet. I just fell for the magic.
That changed after you tied the knot, though, right?
That's right. I guess the proposal was a test and I didn't pass. Over the months after the wedding, I just fell out of love with him. A few months later, I met Enrique, and I finally found what I was looking for.
So, I guess Amanda is no longer a suspect.
Not the way I see it. Frederick did admit to killing her one through love. I've seen people kill for a lot less, such as inheritance.
But I thought you said that Amanda wasn't getting any.
That's beside the point. We're talking about money here, Charlie.
Not Amanda.
Genealogy report.
Years ago, Frederick had a hunch and hired a PI to do some legwork. Seems you were quite the sick kid, Archie.
I beg your pardon?
You were a sick kid born to a poor family. Your biological mother had to make the ultimate sacrifice. She had to put you up for adoption. Seems Christine has an uncle.
I assure you, I am not adopted.
That's not what this letter says. This says that you and Frederick are brothers.
You think?
Excuse me?
Oh, come on! You look just like him.
I'll admit there is some resemblance, but I can assure you I am not adopted.
I wouldn't be so sure about that. I have a copy of the adoption papers right here.
Adoption papers? That must have been why Frederick invited you here tonight. He discovered that there could be another potential heir to his fortune and invited you to eliminate the threat.
He's never mentioned it before. He must have just found them.
Actually, the genealogy report is dated 1st of January, 1922.
He knew all this time and never said anything? That doesn't sound like my father.
Funny you should say that, Christine. Frederick had a lot of secrets. Like, for instance, the fact that you are now a millionaire.
An insurance policy?
Looks like a few years back, Frederick took out a $10 million accident policy. He declared Christine as the sole beneficiary.
Me? But why?
My guess is that he always regretted abandoning his only daughter. He couldn't reconnect with you. We all knew Frederick. If he did try to reconnect, he would have to acknowledge that he made an error.
Why the insurance policy? Leaving her his fortune would have made more sense.
I'm not sure, Amanda. I just don't know.
You know, everything here tonight reminds me of a story. Something recent, I believe. A group of people invited on false pretense to a lone house on a private island. All that's missing is a record.
What do you mean?
Agatha Christie's, and then there were none, I believe. It's had many titles in the decades since the book was released, some more unsavory than others.
I never read it.
You should. It's very entertaining. In it, 10 people are invited to an island under false pretense, much like we were. They were brought by a boat that won't return until after the weekend. In essence, they are cut off from the world.
Like we are.
Good to see he was a thief to the end.
After dinner, they are all sitting in the parlor when the butler places a record on the gramophone. Now everyone is going about their business. Some are talking. Others are...
Archie, could you get on with it?
Oh, sorry. Well, the record is playing, and it's the voice of their host, Mr. Owen, who then goes into detail accusing everyone of a different crime. See, they are there to answer for their felonious deeds. It's wonderful. They all have to...
Everything else fits. We're just missing a record.
Back to Frederick's room?
Right. Maybe it's time to go a little deeper into Frederick's luggage. Abigail, you coming with me?
Sure, Max.
Oh, Charlie, really should read it. It's a wonderful story.
And you said it's similar to what's going on here tonight?
Fairly similar, yes.
Well, in the end, who gets off the island?
Well, I can't really remember. The film and the book have different endings, and sometimes I get them confused, but I believe that none of them do. They all die.
Which explains the title.
Charlie!
And of course he faints.
I've got him. Help me get him up. Christine?
Of course, Doctor.
There you go, son.
No, what?
Is he going to be okay?
He'll be fine. I think it's just his nerves. I'll take him out back and splash some water on his face.
Are you sure?
He'll be okay, miss.
Archie, we're family now. Please call me Christine.
Sorry, old habit. I've never had a niece before. He'll be okay, Christine.
You're really getting sweet on Charlie. Is there anything we should know about?
No, it's nothing like that. I just feel sorry for him. He's had a hard life. Well, we have all had hard lives. His was just different, that's all.
That's an understatement.
You know, you're not the horrid witch that I thought you were.
Thanks. Swell of you to say.
Oh, goodness. I didn't mean it to come out like that. I meant it as a... Oh, never mind.
No, you're right. I guess it's just a wall I put up. If you don't let them in, they can't hurt you, right?
What happened between you and Abby?
We were friends once. When I danced, she'd help me out. I was seeing this man, Kevin Clifton. I really thought I found the one. You know, Abby invited me to a party, so I asked if he'd like to go. He said he couldn't. Imagine my surprise when Abigail introduced me to him the same night. I thought he just surprised me. We snuck off, and that's when she found us.
You honestly didn't know?
How could I? They had different last names, and she never mentioned having a husband. She beat me to within an inch of my life that night. We've been opposed ever since.
Is that why you think she could have killed Frederick?
All I know is that after that, her career was her life. When she heard that I was dating Frederick, she decided to do the story on him. He destroyed her career in a matter of hours. She's never gotten over it.
We found it.
It was sewn in his suitcase. Wait, where are the doctor and Charlie?
Here we are.
Charlie?
Yes?
Why are you drenched?
Dr. Clay had to splash water on me.
What did you do, doctor? Toss him into the drink?
We had complications.
Meaning?
I woke up, got startled by my reflection, fainted again, and pulled the basin of water on top of me.
Did it work?
Quite well, actually.
Mind if we could get on with this? I found the wreckage.
Oh, of course.
Of course, Max.
It's titled Escape from Indian Island. I thought it was a jazz album.
That was the name of the island in the story. Oh, this is getting exciting.
You have an odd sense of adventure, Doc.
Let's see what old Freddy has to say. If you like competitive comedy game shows, check out Balderdash Academy. Watch real competitive comedy from a real fake school. Find us on YouTube or your favorite podcast service.
Meet the characters of Balderdash County in Balderdash Academy Teacher's Lounge. You've heard the game show. Now you can go behind the scenes as you meet the students and faculty of our fine school. Unlock the mysteries of the centuries-old buildings, or even go outside the school grounds to meet the denizens of the village of Balderdash. Character, comedy, and mystery abound in Balderdash Academy Teacher's Lounge every other Wednesday on your favorite podcast service.
To those of you still alive, I say, well done. If you are playing this record, I have undoubtedly been slain. I wish to thank you. You see, I lied. There is no money, nor is there any prize. As of 4 o'clock Friday, I am a poor man. My fortune is gone. How this happened does not matter. What matters is, through my death, you have made my only living connection to this world a multimillionaire. My murder guarantees her success. The $10 million for surviving the night goes to her, my daughter. You'll find the paperwork in a folder in my briefcase. There is no prize money. The morality portion of the game is over. I hope you enjoyed my little challenge, my one last manipulation. I did what I had to do. Christine, use the money wisely and try to make better choices than I have. Goodbye, my friends, my enemies. You have given me more than I could possibly say.
He wanted to die just so I could get the money?
He had to.
But why?
He couldn't commit suicide. The policy would have become null and void. He couldn't get into an accident, as it might not have killed him. There was only one way to guarantee his death. Frederick had to orchestrate his own murder.
Okay. Now what?
Now? Now we have a decision to make. Do we try to figure out who killed Frederick Locke, or do we take our chances and leave it up to the authorities?
Chances?
And we don't know what Frederick put in place. Or what he sent to the cops. We really can't say.
So, what do you suppose we do?
I say we review the motives and vote on it.
You sure?
I am. If this was all done for me, I'd be the prime suspect. If we try to solve this thing, then maybe, just maybe, the police would believe us.
Fine. Let's review motives. Charlie Baska grew up in a constant state of fear. He believes his grandfather, the famed Egyptologist Hugo Baska, died as a result of a mummy's curse, as did his grandmother. Then things died down until his father, Nigel Baska, squandered their fortune and was coaxed by Frederick Locke to sell him the cursed artifacts. The artifacts were put on display in the Locke Gallery for a seemingly lackluster run. That is, until the curse struck again. Charlie's father was found hanging from a loosely knotted rope in this very house. The cause of death was labeled accidental, however, we know different. Frederick rigged the murder to look like an accident to raise profit on the exhibit. Charlie swore to avenge his father's death.
Oh, Charlie. When you lay it all out, Max, it sounds a lot more tragic.
Christine Monroe, Frederick's illegitimate daughter. Christine's mother, Rose, was high up in the Locke Industries. During that time, Frederick and Rose were entangled in a steamy love affair. The affair ended once Rose became pregnant. Frederick fired her and slurred her name. On the verge of destitution, she gave birth to a little girl she named Christine. Rose demanded that a paternity test be done. Frederick agreed and paid off Dr. Clay to produce a negative result. Christine grew up knowing her father abandoned her. When Christine's mother fell ill, Ms. Monroe supported them. When her mother Rose passed away from pneumonia, Christine vowed to make her father pay.
I feel horrible for my involvement in the whole affair. Please forgive me, Christine.
It was a different time, Doctor.
And if that wasn't enough, there's the insurance policy listing her as the sole recipient in his death. If she found that, it would be motive enough.
I forgot about the policy.
Dr. Archibald Clay. Early in his career, he operated on a woman while intoxicated. The woman died. The family threatened to sue. Archie almost lost his license to practice medicine. Desperate, he went to Frederick and pleaded for help. Frederick agreed for a future favor and paid off the late woman's family. Years later, Frederick called in his favor and asked that Dr. Clay tamper with a paternity test against him to produce a negative result. The good doctor followed through on his promise and considered the favor repaid. Frederick, not one to leave loose ends and not trusting the doctor, set him up and exposed his drinking. Archie lost his license, was utterly discredited, and sank into an alcoholic stupor. He's now well on the road to recovery and hasn't had a drink in 16 years. He claims that Frederick saved him, but still, I believe he has more than enough motive to commit murder.
We all do, Max. Even you.
That's true, Abby. Would you like to do the honors, or should I?
I'll take it. Max was the former manager of the Blue Canary, a club owned by Frederick Locke. Little did Max know, Locke was laundering money through the club. When the feds came knocking, Max was the scapegoat. He spent 5 years in the pen for a crime he didn't commit. Is that motive? I don't know. I've known Max for years.
It's motive, Abby. Enough to consider him a prime suspect. We need to consider it. You had motive too, though.
Oh, honey, we all had motive.
That is true. I'm sorry, Abby, but we need to consider everything.
Go on, Max, I know.
There was once a time when a review from Abigail Bancroft would guarantee either success or failure for a business. She was the one who dictated what was the talk of the town and what was old news. All of that changed when she decided to do a story on Frederick Locke. She delved into his illegal business dealings and slimy practices. She called for a boycott of all of Mr. Locke's clubs and products. Locke purchased every magazine and newspaper that ran a column. Within 1 month, Abigail couldn't find a job running classifieds for a placemat. She was exiled from the scene and her wealth soon dwindled. She is now desperate for money.
Harsh.
Is it true?
Of course, but it doesn't make it any less painful to hear.
And because of that reason, Abigail has sworn revenge on Mr. Locke by any means necessary.
True.
This is absurd.
Amanda Locke. Now, to say Amanda and Frederick fell out of love would be an understatement. They downright hate each other. Her lover recently died in a mysterious accident. Frederick was the one who arranged it. She wanted a divorce and he refused.
But he signed the papers.
Correct. But you didn't know that until after he was murdered. You were heartbroken and could have done anything to avenge your fallen lover and finally be free. That's motive. More than enough motive, actually.
We have one clue left that doesn't fit. One thing left that's been bothering me.
Who brought the poison?
Exactly. Frederick went so far as to provide us with weapons, even poison. The thing is, the poison he supplied was never opened. Someone had to have either known Frederick was here, or they would have been the type of person to carry poison with them.
Well, we assume the poison wasn't opened.
Meaning?
Like you said earlier, it could have been opened, used, and refilled and resealed. There is enough paraffin in the kitchen that anyone who spends enough time there could have resealed the bottle.
So we're back to the beginning. Who brought the poison?
Or who refilled it?
Right, that too.
So what do we do now?
We consider the evidence. We look at the motive, means, and opportunity. Whoever has all three is our guilty party.
Okay, Max. You're right.
We need time to consider this. Tell you what, this is what we'll do. We'll go unpack and get our luggage ready. We'll place it in the foyer to be picked up. I have the strangest feeling the bridge is going to be lowered soon. I'm sure we all want to get out of here fast.
That sounds agreeable.
While we wait, we all consider the evidence. Write down who you think committed the crime and why. When we're done, I'll review the guesses. Then we'll reveal who we think committed the crime.
A grand reveal, Max? You're like something out of a Christie or Doyle story.
And if it's you?
Then I confess. If the evidence says it's me, then it's me.
And you'll just admit to it?
I believe that he would. I also believe that, if the evidence is strong enough, he'll have no choice.
Agreed. Let's do this.
Fine. I'm game.
As am I.
Then it's settled. We meet back here in 1 hour.
You've listened to Sleuths Mystery Entertainment's production of Robert J. LeBlanc's Motive, Means, Opportunity, Part 4, Clue by Clue. Brought to you by Maine Repertory Theater, the home for original comedy, and by Somerset Abbey. So much more than just music and comedy, it's an experience. Tonight's broadcast featured Brian Files as Inspector Brian Fisher, Bob LeBlanc as Detective Bobby Bianco and Max Parker, David Hanwright as Dr. Archibald Clay and Frederick Locke, Nate Green as Charlie Basker, Marie Stewart Harmon as Christine Monroe, Molly McGill as Abigail Bancroft, Carla Rose Dubois as Amanda Locke, and I'm your narrator, Steve Corning. The music used in this episode was Hard Boiled and Fast Talkin' by Kevin MacLeod. Both compositions are used under extended license. To review these songs or the rest of the catalog, visit filmmusic.io. Join us next week for the exciting conclusion with part 5 of Motive, Means, Opportunity, All's Well That Ends Well. And remember to play along at home. See the instructions in the description for details of how you can ask questions of our suspects directly, gather clues, and see if you can solve the mystery. At Sleuths Mystery Entertainment, you hear the show, play the game, and solve the mystery. Good night, folks. Audio and text copyright 2020 by Robert J. LeBlanc. All rights reserved. No part of this recording may be reproduced without express written permission from the author.
Hi, this is Bob. I'm the owner of Sleuths Mystery Entertainment. This episode was adapted and recorded during the coronavirus pandemic of 2020. It was performed in our own homes on the 15th and 20th of April via Zoom. The company, writers and performers, volunteered our time to bring this mystery to life. We used whatever equipment we had on hand during the quarantine to participate. Audio and video qualities may vary between performers.
If you would like to tip your performers, a Venmo account has been created at Sleuths Mystery. All tips will be split equally among the 8 performers. The interactive portion of this production runs from the 22nd of April to the 19th of May, 2020. After that time, all clues will be made public through our distribution channels. New installments of Robert J. LeBlanc's Motive, Means, Opportunity are available on Wednesdays. Tune in and watch at your leisure. We are on Facebook and YouTube as Sleuths Mystery Entertainment, or your favorite podcast service as Sleuths Mystery Radio. For more information on interactive mystery events for public shows, team building, corporate or private events online or in person, visit sleuthsmystery.com. Do you own a mystery company or a theater troupe? Custom mystery comedies are available. Contact Sleuths Mystery Entertainment for details. Next time on Robert J. LeBlanc's Motive, Means, Opportunity.
What if he took off?
And what? Swam through ice-cold waters to escape a murder? Come on.
Well, why not? He was all take charge. It would have made sense that he would have done that to try to avoid suspicion. Why, you little!
Amanda, no, don't!
Calm down, my dear. There's already been one murder tonight.
So you admit it.
The crime has been committed. The suspects defined. It's now time to let the questioning begin. If you would like to question your suspects, you can do so in one of two ways. You can ask your question via Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, using the hashtag MMOSuspect. You can also email your questions to suspect@sleuthsmystery.com. Good luck, and have fun playing. You've listened to Sleuths Mystery Radio. Hear the show, play the game, solve the mystery.